Hear from the Lord this week?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. Yeah, that's important. Hallelujah. Well, we have an opportunity. Thank you, praise and worship team. Appreciate that big time. Yeah. Hallelujah. We do have, not live, but he's coming from Nicaragua. Oscar's going to be addressing us today for, I think he said 7 minutes, so we'll go for the 7 minutes. So, Jeremy, are we on tune on that? Okay. Well, let's hear what Oscar has to say from
Nicaragua. It's a great pleasure for me to address you this morning and give you a report of all the greatest things that the Lord has made here in Nicaragua. But I would like to start first naming a person who I really admire and from whom I read from the Bible, and I know you guys have read from him as well. His name is Nehemiah. We hear from the Lord that Nehemiah, he was building the wall from Jerusalem. The walls were torn down, and Jerusalem needed somebody that stepped forward and start building up or rebuilding the walls or they're building the city. There are a few lessons that I'd like to address this morning about Nehemiah. Sometimes I ask myself, do I need to have a degree to perform something? Do I need to be certified to do something? In the ministry, sometimes we encounter the same situation. Do I have to work in a full-time ministry to come and minister? But let me ask you a question. Do you really need to be a full ministry in order for you to develop your gift? Nehemiah, he was not even the priest of his land. He was not even the priest of Israel. He was just a cupbearer. He was somebody that used to take the cup to the king. And one thing that I like about Nehemiah is that as this noise you hear about trucks and motorcycles coming along, Nehemiah put up a team that worked alone in order to rebuild the city. It was in his heart to come and develop and work something out that really was beneficial up to the point that we are right now. If there wouldn't be any Nehemiah, what would have happened to that city? We need to be that Nehemiah nowadays. We need to be that individual that builds up his kingdom. And you don't have to work on full-time ministry to build up his kingdom. You can develop or work or do the ministry with what you have in your hand. This brings me up to Moses. Moses, even though he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter, there was a point where he find himself and said, I have nothing. But God himself come and ask him, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand that I can use? Moses, he had the passion. Just like Nehemiah did, he had the passion. So I'm asking you this morning, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand that God can use for his kingdom? Are you an architect? Are you a builder? Are you a concrete man? Are you an electrician? Are you a drywall builder? You can help God's kingdom. You can build God's kingdom by building up those that work for his kingdom. You don't have to be a full-time ministry to do what the Lord is telling you to do. I would really appreciate it if you were a full-time ministry. That is so beautiful. But that does not inhibit us or limit us to do the work of the Lord. The fields are empty. The fields are ready. Just as we can look this afternoon here in this field, this sugarcane field, that is so ready for the builders, for the planters to come and plant the sugarcanes in order to have this beautiful fruit, in order to have sugar in our table. There's also another lesson that I learned from Nehemiah, is he prayed for everything. He prayed for everything. I mean, every single thing that he was going to perform, he prayed. The third thing I like to name, and it really impacted me about Nehemiah, is that he cared about the things of God. We have to have passion in order to build his kingdom. Not our kingdom, but his kingdom. The fourth thing I like about Nehemiah is that it's that God leads different people in different way. God needs you, God needs me, God needs everybody, need his child to build his kingdom. He works with you. None of us are alike. We are so different. We are so different in the things we know, the language we speak, the color we are, but every single one of us God uses. And the fifth thing I like to name about Nehemiah is that God sees your faithfulness. God saw Nehemiah's faithfulness, and he saw in him his passion. And you know what? God put a passion, put a vision in one individual, and he will build a resource. He put the resources in order for you and I to fulfill what the Lord is asking us to do. So my question is for Thief River Falls, are you the one? Are you that one that the Lord is seeking for to build his kingdom? We saw this last week, 40 people come to Christ. I don't know about you guys, but 40 people come to Christ meant everything. He went up that cross for those 40 people. We had 100 people being baptized by the Lord, by his Holy Spirit. It was so great, for a very beautiful experience for time like this. And if I had to give a report of last week, Pastor Jay came to Nicaragua. I don't know if he needed us more than we needed him. But he was such a blessing. And it was not Pastor Jake only. It was community church being represented by Pastor Jake. It means that you did it as well. Everything that happened, all those souls that gave their life to Christ, you did it as well. Because you support it. You support this ministry. We're not doing this because we're building a kingdom. We are building his kingdom, Church of God. So my message to you this morning, and I'm not going to take much longer. I probably, Pastor Ray will look at his watch and just point it out. But my message to you is, don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. You can build his kingdom. Even though you haven't been in school of ministry, or you haven't been in a school of theology, with what you have in your hand, you can build his kingdom. What do you have in your hand? We are preparing to minister in such a way that we are not going to give the people the resources. We will teach the people how to use the resources. So I invite you this morning. In September, we are working on a new strip. Of Pastor Jake and the team is going to come, join the team to come, and we will teach the people how to perform things, how to learn things, how to put something in their hand as well. Just like Paul said, I'm to the Romans, I am coming to you in order to present the gift that the Lord is giving me for the building of his faith. So by you coming along, by you supporting this next ministry, this next ministry trip, you're going to be part of it. So I encourage you, Thief River Falls, Minnesota, a city that I love very much, even in winter, I encourage you to step forward and be part of what United Team International is doing in this land. The Falls, they're ready, and they're waiting for you. God bless.
All right. Yes. Well, that was Oscar Hines. And, we had a real great trip. Probably spent more time with his family. The kids are growing up, and they're like my grandkids, and so that was enjoyable. What we were talking about, or what he was talking about in September, end of September, we're opening up, if you remember, we opened up United Team International Business, and we're going to go about business, and we're going to start training young people in trades, electrical, plumbing, of course, concrete work. There was sheetrocking, taping, and grouting. Is it grouting? What is it called? Stuccoing? Stuccoing. Okay. Well, anyway, so we're taking another approach. Of course, our mind is to get their attention and then really get their attention. To bring them to Christ. And I personally, I think maybe it would be a good thing here in the United States to start the trades so people at 18 can change a light bulb and different things like that. Hallelujah. Well, okay. Well, it is important, you know. I mean, you think about changing a tire, you know. Well, you don't change a tire until you have a flat tire, and a lot of times you don't have a flat tire for many, many years. But when you have one, you have to change it, and sometimes it's interesting, as many flat tires as I change, I have to kind of rehearse again in it. I said, just when you become a professional, then you get done with the job, you forget it, and then the next year you have to, again, start over kind of in the, okay, I remember doing this, and staggering the tiles and different things like that. Well, you know, again, we had probably five or six meetings. The main meeting was what he was talking about. There was 40 people that gave their life to Christ, probably over 100 people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Good spirit on the whole thing. We met with 20 pastors on Monday, and it was interesting because I hadn't been there for 2 years, and you know, kind of the work there, because of the conflict that went on 2 years ago, they lost 500 people to riots and different things that were going on. There's an underlying current that is going on, and opposing force, you have to have another opposing force, and they rose up, and again, you have to be pretty determined. You know, I think about our civil wars and different things. You have to be pretty determined to get into stuff like that. And Oscar and myself were talking about that. So anyhow, I felt like how important the fruit of the Spirit is in our lives, and how important the gifts of the Spirit are in our life, because the gifts really bring us to wisdom and knowledge and different things like that, healing and so I was thinking about that last night. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and this is what I heard: the call. Okay, so I'm going, all right, okay, so what does that mean? And so I fell asleep again. About 10 after 4, the call. You know, sometimes you lose that, you know, okay, I lost that. What was he saying? But he was talking about the call. So I got up and I was thinking about the book, The Call. And I said, man, I don't know if I've ever read the book, you know. So I went and grabbed it at Rick Joyner. And it was interesting because we got a pretty good sized library, and I walked to this 4 o'clock in the morning, flipped the light on, walked right to the book. There was The Call. And so I said, well, Lord, what am I going to do in 15, 20 minutes or a half hour on The Call? And I think about the name, The Call, and that it has so much to do with us individually, and then we build a church by sharing something from our individual lives so that they can change by your testimony. And anyway, I started looking at it, and I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to direct me and give me some kind of idea. I read the introduction, went to the first chapter, and I started reading the first chapter, and it was right there. So I'm just going to read this for all of our sakes. When I read it, it was really a revelation to me. And I think that it's going to kind of maybe fit into your thought and your lifestyle. And you shall have more wisdom injected, knowing my thoughts. What you have found here will go with you. However, you do not have to come here to be changed. In other words, Rick Joyner was in a revelational moment, and he didn't have to always come back to this revelational moment to have what he was talking. And so the Lord said, the power of the cross is enough to change you. What you have experienced here you can experience every day. What you have experienced here, you can, okay, the Holy Spirit was sent to convict you of sin, to lead you to truth, and to testify of me. He is with you continuously. You must get to know the Holy Spirit better. Many believe in the Holy Spirit, but few make room for him in their lives. As the end of the age approaches, that will change. The Holy Spirit is about to move over the earth as he did in the beginning. He will take the chaos and the confusion that are spreading across the earth, and he will bring forth a glorious new creation right in the midst of it. You are about to enter the time when he will do wonders continuously, and the whole world will be in awe of his works. This is a prophetic word from Rick Jointer. He will do all of this through my people. When the Holy Spirit moves, the sons and daughters of God will prophesy. From the old to the young, they will dream dreams and see visions. The work that I did and greater works will they do in my name, that I might be glorified in the earth. The whole creation groans and travails for what the Holy Spirit is about to do. What you will find through that door, and he was facing a door that he was entering into, will help you to prepare for what is to come. I am the Savior, but I am also the Judge. I am about to reveal myself to the world as the righteous Judge. First, I must reveal my judgment to my own household. My people are about to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Then they will know his power to convict of sin. They will also know that he will always lead them to the truth that will set them free. This is the truth that testifies of me. When my people have come to know me as I am, then I will use them to testify of me. Now he's talking to us personally. I am the judge, but it is better for you to judge yourself so that I will not have to judge you. Even so, my judgments are about to be restored to my people. I will judge my own household first. After that, I will judge the whole earth. Okay, so this was given to us in 1999, I noticed. You know, so that's 20 years ago. Goes on, the glory of the wisdom was overshadowing everything around me. I had never seen such splendor before, even here. It increased as he talked about his judgments. I knew by this that there was a glory to be seen by knowing him as the judge that was greater than I had known before. I started feeling so small and insignificant in his presence that it was hard for me to concentrate on what he was saying. Just when I thought I would be overwhelmed by his glory, he reached out and touched me on the forehead, gently but firmly. When he did this, my mind became focused and clear. This is real interesting. You begin to look at yourself. This will always bring confusion, making it hard for you to hear me. Every time you experience my touch, your mind will become clearer. Every time you feel my presence, know that I have come to touch you in order that you may see me and hear me. You must learn to abide in my presence without becoming self-conscious and self-absorbed. This causes you to turn from the truth that is in me and turn to the deception that is in your fallen nature. And he was talking about an introduction, because I read the introduction. I was looking for what the call was all about. But he was talking about how us looking at ourselves and always judging ourselves and always bringing ourselves down to positions where, when he does speak, it's almost like we feel condemned by him because his glory is so great, his judgment is so great. I thought that was very interesting. Many people fall when my spirit touches them. The time for falling is over. You must learn to stand when my spirit moves. If you do not stand when my spirit moves, he cannot use you. The heathen shall fall before me, but I need my people to stand so that I may be able to use them. And I thought that was the powerful thought on that, was that we have to stand. And the biggest thing that the enemy has going for him, he uses deception. He uses our own sin nature, which we go back to many times. We kind of forget. You know, like if you repeat, pretty soon the child's going to pee in the pot or poop in the pot, whatever they do, because you keep on repeating it, and you bring it over and over and over and over again. And of course, people don't like repetition, but sometimes that's the only way they're going to get the job done. And I think that that's what the Lord is really bringing to the body of Christ. We got to repeat, and repeat as many times as it takes to become the child of God that is going to carry this thing out. Believe enough in God, not only to say, I believe in God and I believe in the Holy Spirit, but be able to move in the Holy Spirit. Does that make some sense? Okay. So I thought that was interesting, the call. And I think it's a very good book. Let's see, what was the first book? This is the connection. Final Quest, there it is, yeah. Final Quest, the calls, the second book. And that's why, if you didn't catch it, he was about ready to enter into another realm. And this guy's a prophetic, Rick Joyner is a prophetic guy that is. So with the Final Quest and the call, I guess I challenge us as individuals more than anything. Again, if we were all, of course, then it would be, are we all pastors? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Are we all... Well, Jeff pretty much laid that out in the prophetic, and Oscar also is, you know what? Nehemiah was Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. In other words, he's a wine guy that drank wine to make sure that the king wouldn't die. He'd die before the king would. So that was, yeah, it was a pretty cushy job, but you were praying that no one would stick anything in your wine, you know. So I started thinking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and everything that we accomplish can only be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. And everything else kind of just, you know, blanks out. What, you know, why would somebody wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and say the call, and I would get up, go to the book stand. I almost knew that there was a book in there, The Call, and Tom had been into The Call probably a year ago. He was talking about The Call. So I just thought, well, that must be it. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us there is a multitude of people in the valley of decision, and if they don't make the proper decision, it's curtains for them. And you know what I've heard last season of time, you know, suicide is up. People are, it's like no one knows what to do with themselves. And we as Christians have to stand strong and understand that the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us, and then trying to get across through us to people that are needing help. And there's a multitude of people that are needing help. Amen? So I just thought, I thought about the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, to envying one another. Really kind of giving us these nine things will get rid of envying one another and provoking one another. You know, I said, okay, well, that's a good deal. And then it goes to 1 Corinthians 12:8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another discerning diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Okay. These two areas, I've always wondered about this, how the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit line up. And without the gifts of the, or fruit of the Spirit, can we actually conduct much in the realm of the spiritual gifts? Can we function in those spiritual gifts? And I'd mentioned at different times, he didn't give us the first three and said, you don't have to have the rest. You know, it's love, joy, and peace, and you're going, hey, I'm going to take that right with me. But the fact is, there's nine, and the next one is long-suffering. And then it goes into gentleness and kindness and self-control, things that we don't really like to do. We would prefer the love, joy, and peace, and then pass off. But this meal right here is a nine-course meal that we have to eat it all. Okay, does that make sense? You know, that you got to eat the whole thing. I mean, oh, do you want to be kind today? Probably not. And maybe you want to be kind, but you weren't kind to a son, daughter, wife, whoever, person you met on the street. And then this actually taking over your life completely, you know, that, okay, how did I do with the fruit of the Spirit today? And gentleness and faithfulness. And some of us actually have a John Wayne spirit that we think John Wayne is the coolest dude around. And John Wayne wasn't too kind and he wasn't too gentle. His goodness kind of run out along the way. But we think it's cool. So we pattern ourselves after John Wayne and we maybe miss the point that God's trying to bring across to us. But if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, the problem is the gifts of the Spirit are very, very hard to function without the fruit. If you're hearing what I'm saying? You know, like when we start thinking, and just lining these up, and I'm just going to line them up, the word of wisdom, okay? So the word of wisdom, of course, we get that. I'm going to have the word of wisdom. Well, if we went right across the word of wisdom with love, okay? And again, the word of wisdom supernaturally discloses the mind's purpose and the way of God as applying to a specific situation. If we have the wisdom of God, then we must have love, for God is love. If you search for the first gift of the Spirit, you must possess the first fruit of the Spirit. Okay? And whether this be a perfect scenario of the nine lining up, it doesn't make any difference. It makes some sense that we have to have God's love. And if we don't have God's love, good chance the wisdom of God's love not going to come, or the wisdom that we're needing from the Spirit won't come, and we'll just go on with our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, it's difficult to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. But it's essential and challenging. He'll be challenging you to every day. So we go to the word of wisdom, joy. It says the word of knowledge, or word of knowledge, I should say. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of information about a specific thing and has to do with immediate needs. Jesus gave instruction to his disciples so his joy would remain in them and be filled. A word of knowledge will always be received with joy from the disciples. So we must first strive to have the fruit of joy in our lives. Okay, so you know, we start talking about joy and we have different, I have my joy, you have your joy. You say you don't need to smile to have joy. I say you have to smile to have joy, and we could debate that. But the fact is, there's an inner joy from the Lord that comes to you, and he starts superseding anything that you could ever imagine. I just remember, I didn't hear birds for the first 25 years, 26 years of my existence. And when I heard the birds tweeting one day, I'm going, listen to the birds. Well, they had been tweeting for 26 years, I just didn't hear them. You know, and it's interesting how we can dismiss such the beauty of God's creation by just being out there. And you know, again, I thought it was interesting that the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to do this for us. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desire of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we're going to be. You know, and I remember living that baby. I mean, I lived that. I had 9 fruits of the devil, you know. And yeah, they got plenty of them in there. I mean, it was like, wow. So when God started, immediately when you gave your life to Christ, immediately God began to start working on these things and straightening out things. You know, it was on baptism. I was baptized when I was a boy. And so why are you hard on my parents? And you go to the feeling realm. You go to every realm except the realm of God's glory. He got you out of the flesh so he could get you into the Spirit. And the gifts, if we're going to have the gifts manifesting in the world and through us, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Because you can't hate the world, or you can't hate a society, or you can't hate a church, or you can't hate someone. I run into an Indian lady on our final run from Minneapolis, and she said, I hated the Border Patrol. Like, you wouldn't know how much I hated the Border Patrol. And she got crippled, and her legs got crippled. She was testifying. You know, we only had 45 minutes. And she told me her whole life story. And it was so convincing, I gave her $100. So, you know, I was convinced. But what had happened, that she got healed because she stopped hating the Border Patrol. And she didn't only stop hating the Border Patrol, she started loving them. And now she's going from San Diego all the way down into Texas, proclaiming the love she has for the Border Patrol and the great work they're doing. And she was coming here to go to the border up here and take off to Montana and all the way across. This girl was sold out, man. And I thought, well, I better get in on some of this. But you know how she could be changed, and that she'd start doing gifts of the Spirit was because she had to get rid of this thing. You were in the flesh. You were taking everything that you were was bad. And so anyway, she changed. She was healed. Her hands were healed. Her legs were healed. She had just a powerful testimony. So it goes on. Faith is a special outpouring of the supernatural faith to release of miracles. Even a small amount of faith in our Father will bring peace into our lives. Isn't that the truth? First time I believed, that first day, I started having peace in my life. Thank you, Jesus. If we have the peace that passes all understanding, then we will be ready for the gifts of the Spirit. When the need arises, so seek first to have the fruit of the Spirit, peace in your life. Amen? Does this make some sense? And I had Danny, I was trying to get it over to him, but I was just going to give it to you. I knew this service was going to run a little bit longer because of the Oscar and different things like that. But it goes on like healing, or the healing that God performs supernaturally. If we have long suffering, then we have learned to be able to to be content in every situation as Paul was. He learned that in his weakness, Jesus' strength was made perfect. So if we can learn to be long-suffering in all, then we will be able to accept the supernatural healing God has for us. Faith produces miracles, but miracles do not necessarily produce faith. Unless we know how to rejoice in any circumstance, that we do not look for the healing, but for the relationship with God that will bring about the healing. Powerful. Of course, we're talking physical healing, but I tell you what, emotional healing these days are just like, it's totally out of control. In fact, as a minister, I get some calls. This last week I got a call. Well, actually, Jeff called me and a person took their lives. And I've gone and going through it with Adam and all that. All I could say was, I really couldn't say a whole lot except I feel so bad for you because I know what you're going through. And you, without Christ, I don't know how they're going to get through it. And you know, the funny thing about it, I had contacted this young girl earlier, and she said, well, God hasn't been very merciful to me, take care of my dad and mom. You know, so 3 months before she committed suicide, she pretty much had it in her mind where she was going. And it's sad that as Christians, as people that are supposed to have the ability to be able to bring solutions and lines that's going to really change people's lives, that this happens and you stand there like, you know. And thank God I have Christ in me so I can deal with these things and your feelings and your emotions and your hate and your love and your strength and your weakness and all of it. And that's a fruit of the Spirit, and we have those answers. I don't know, every church in town, every church in the world should be filled with the answer to the question. And with Rick Joynter, we have the answer. And I'd have to ask myself, am I in the flesh? You know, that I don't have the fruit of the Spirit, that I don't love like I should love. Maybe I'm not kind like I should be kind. Maybe I'm not so self-controlled like I should be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Rick was talking about him in the prophetic realm. This is what he was saying. He said, the prophetic realm, if I can write down the dream quickly, then I'm much more apt to believe that was from the Lord. And you probably had this happen. You wake up, there's a word that was given, and you say, I'd remember that word for 100 years. But when you go back, when you wake up, you forget the word. And then you're asking, God, what was that word again? And the word's gone, you know. And so he was talking about his confidence in the prophetic realm. And I liked what he was saying because sometimes we take the prophetic realm and we're saying that's the gospel. No, the prophetic realm is not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. And the word of God is the word of God. A prophetic word is to encourage you, build you up, probably line up something that God is speaking in you. And he was just saying how carefully he is not to make that the inspired word of God, the prophetic. And I've heard a lot of prophetic words, but I've missed a lot of prophetic words. I haven't listened to the prophetic word. Dave Wagner, I was so wound up on this first part of this year because of the death of Adam. I was just going, I read the prophetic word and I said, you know, that would have really helped me. But you're so wound up in the world that we live in and in the fight that we've got going. And the people around us, I mean, you got a lot of people that could encourage you and tell you, just say, hey, you know what? This is what God's doing right now. And this is what his word says. And this is what a prophetic word. It all has to be mixed together. Amen? Yes. You know, I'm pressing the clock here. But what I'm just, we could go through, I could read through those nine things. You can probably go and take a look at what the nine things are, line them up if you want to. I think they're very powerful. I believe we're in a time that is so crucial. I don't know if it's, it was 20 years ago that he prophesied this. I believe that this 20 years is so crucial to us lining up so we can function in the gifts of the Spirit. And if we don't get there, it's because we're not functioning in the fruit of the Spirit. And as much as we think we're such nice people, maybe we're not so nice. You know what I'm saying? And maybe we're self-condemned because we blew it one time. You know, when I was blowing it all the time, it seemed like it didn't bother me at all. But you know, now I got a temperature gauge and I'm almost going, I'm sick all the time. But the fact is, we just blow it every once in a while and we have to get back on repentance and say, hey, you know what? The fruit of the Spirit are very, it's very important in my life. And maybe you could even question yourself. I question myself. I just go, yeah, you're a mess. You know? And you know, maybe the axe to grind. You know, I think I could have an axe to grind with most anyone I'm affiliated with or not affiliated with. But the fact is, that doesn't bring you out of the flesh. It doesn't give you the crucified life. You're living a life in the flesh, and I don't want to be there, and I would expect you don't either. If Rick Joyner would say that about his own prophetic words, saying, hey, you know what? We got to take this. God's word is the inspired word. We take prophecy. We use it for edification, building up. It's fantastic. I love prophecy because it keeps us in a stir mode so that we can see things the way God is seeing things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Oscar. We thank you, Lord, that us as Community Church and other places could lift the city of Managua and the country of Nicaragua up in a special way. God, we pray for those 40 people that gave their life to Jesus. If we had 40 people here today and they gave their life to Jesus, that would double church. So that'd be pretty cool. And 100 people baptized in the Holy Spirit is pretty good too, because that comes to the wisdom or the gifts of the Spirit. So Father, we ask right now, Lord, that you'd bless Nicaragua and Oscar. We pray for Africa because we spent so much time there. We pray for the fair, prayer at the fair, the many people that received prayer, received tracts, received Christ. God, it's so important. And God, that we would not dismiss ourselves, Lord, that we'd be so active. And maybe even a challenge is take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, take a look at the gifts of the Spirit, line them up and say, how am I doing? You know, maybe that's our equation that we need to go to, saying, not bad today, yesterday was pretty tough, you know, whether it be towards whoever it was towards. So, Father, we expect that you're working a mighty, mighty work in the earth today. And we're not wanting to be, as Rick Joyner said, that I want to be used by you. I don't want to miss the boat not being used by you. So, Father, just release your fruit and the gifts of the Spirit in my life and in our lives as a community church. We give you the glory, we give you the honor and praise for it now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you're needing prayer, please come up. We'll pray for you. And if not, you're dismissed. Hallelujah.